He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It is a new week. I'm ready to roll. The market is open. This is the Monday, May 23rd edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. And we have a mixed market so far. Maybe we should call it a mixed-up market. That's what it's been here recently. We've had
I'll take mixed.
Yeah, mixed. We've had eight straight weeks of losing. We need to turn this thing around. Can we turn it around this week? Well, so far the Dow is up, but I would expect volatility throughout the day. That's been the watchword here for sure recently. The Dow's up 285, 31,547. It couldn't hold that 32,000 level, and I would say this about technical levels this year for all of the indexes. They have not been able to hold any one of their technical levels so far in 2022. The S&P is up 18, 3,919, so much for it holding 4,000. That didn't hold. We're now at 39.19, but up 18 points today. The NASDAQ is down now. It was up. It's now down 19 to 11,335, so much for holding 12,000. The Russell 2000 up 0.75% today to 17.88. Crude oil remains strong. How much did you pay over the weekend to fill your gas tank? $110 per barrel for crude right now. Gold is strong, too. I'm seeing a bid coming into these gold stocks. It's up $12.60 today to $18.54 as the dollar is finally starting to weaken a little bit. Silver's up 25 cents today. The 10-year up 3 basis points to 2.82. And Bitcoin, the besieged Bitcoin, is at $30,276 today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, 23 years as a professional money manager, watching the market daily, the gyrations thereof, the big swings, the small swings, the bears, the bulls, and I wouldn't trade the experience for anything. I'm looking forward to another week. Watching the markets and reporting on the markets and managing money. And I've got Barry Kite here, our resident chartered financial analyst. He'll be weighing in on some of the events here recently in the market. We enter this week with an 8-week losing streak in the market. And the S&P, I think, dipped into bear territory, which is 20% from its high on Friday.
Yeah, for a moment.
The NASDAQ has been in bear territory for quite some time. It's down 27% year-to-date. The Dow has not dipped into bear territory. But, you know, when I looked at those where the charts ended on Friday, it wasn't pretty. Every attempt at holding a technical level here in 2022 has failed for these indexes. Now, that's the technical side of the equation. The fundamental side of the equation are the earnings expectations. And I would say this about that. Things were going swimmingly well in the earnings season. In fact, earnings season was just about over when last week we had four big reports towards the end of earnings season. So I would say that that reflects a little bit more of what's been happening in the last month, what's been happening recently, as opposed to the companies that reported early on in the earnings season. On last Tuesday, it was Walmart shocking the world and the markets with a dismal, not only a dismal earnings report, but a dismal earnings forecast. the biggest bricks and mortar retailer in the world, barely squeaked out a profit, and they blamed rising labor cost, rising fuel cost, and rising food cost. Okay, we could have wrote that off, Barry, as a one-off and say, well, you know, Walmart, it's probably right. just a problem specific to Walmart. Well, the next day, it was an even worse report coming from Target, probably the second biggest bricks and mortar retailer.
And their biggest drop since 1987 on that day.
Holy cow, that stock was lost a quarter of its value in one day. And they blamed basically the same things, only a little bit more of a severe case for them. And in addition to that, the supply chain is also coming up still in reports. It's nowhere near being a fluid supply chain yet. Okay, now if that wasn't enough, on Friday we had two more companies. Now remember, this is at the end of earnings season, so it more reflects where we're at in the economy now. Ross Stores reported earnings, and they reported the same issues, okay? Ross Stores, one of the big discount retail chains across America, it's been a venerable performer over the years, but they're having issues with supply chain, with inventory, getting inventory, the cost of that inventory, the cost of labor, the cost of fuel. And then it was one more on Friday was Deer. Deer's biggest issues were supply chain. They said, we've got the orders. We don't have the parts to make the orders, to put the orders together. So, you know, that's where we ended the week. The markets were way down on Friday. They ended up just a little bit down. They did come back at the end of the day. But that there's no way that that now hasn't done damage to the S&P 500 future earnings expectations. Because when you've got a big stock like Walmart guiding lower, and don't forget Amazon, the biggest online retailer, they reported a big loss. And in fact, Amazon had a major impact on the earnings, $2 or $3 per share on the S&P 500 earnings this past quarter. But they also guided lower. And you got to believe, Barry, if these companies are having issues, well, what about Dollar Tree, and what about, you know, the grocery outlets, and what about what about the restaurants, and, you know, basically anything consumer-related? Don't you think that they're all facing the same issues?
Oh, certainly. I mean, you know, especially if they're, you know, labor-heavy, right, and most of your retailers are going to be labor-heavy, right? I mean, I guess, you know, the only one you'd consider probably not very labor heavy would be like Shopify, right? But they're completely, I mean, they're not actually creating the, you know, they're doing the technology behind the scenes. They're not actually, you know, the store that's actually creating the goods and selling the goods. But yeah, I mean, labor is a huge key. Of course, you know, any of those inputs or any of those, you know, if you're selling actual goods, right? Then you know, then you're facing those higher costs, transportation costs, in some form or fashion. You know, labor and energy are certainly causing you pain, even if you can get the goods, right?
Exactly.
That doesn't include the actual, you know, supply chain issues that we continue to hear about. But even if you can get them, then you're still facing those higher cost pressures.
Yeah, so, you know, anything retail, I've been saying to avoid. I mean, here's some names that were caught up in the collateral damage here this past week. Ross Stores, Boot Barn, Shoe Carnival, Abercrombie & Fitch, Chico's, Burlington Stores, Urban Outfitters, Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, Five Below, Williams-Sonoma, Dollar Tree, Dollar General, Big Lots, and, of course, Target, Walmart. Now, you know what? That's about 15% 20%, somewhere in there, of our economy, which means of the 500 stocks that make up the S&P 500, 50 to 100 somewhere in that range. I mean, it extends to McDonald's, it extends to Chipotle, etc., are part of that S&P 500. And so there's no question that the estimates out there for the S&P 500, the consensus estimate for this year and the consensus estimate for next year, are too high. And I took mine down on Friday. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about that. Because as I've said for years, you know, one of the best indicators of all for the future of the market is the direction of earnings expectations. And we're starting to take earnings expectations down now. That's not a good sign. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. What's driving the Dow right now? It's up 369. JP Morgan, I know they were talking about interest income. Okay, so you know how when you file your income taxes at the end of the year, there's always a little bit of interest income that you earn from your checking account or a little savings. It usually doesn't amount to much. But the banks, on the other hand, if they're sitting on a lot of deposits and cash, they're earning more on that money sitting there than they were before because interest rates are higher. So you know what? It's not a really big material thing, but it is one of the reasons why the banks are supposed to do well in a rising interest rate environment. So J.P. Morgan is the biggest percent gainer on the Dow. That's not a very good chart, Barry, on J.P. Morgan. It's been going down. It's down about 30% since the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I was going to say about 30%.
Relative strength of 29, PE of 10. I'm not going to run out and buy J.P. Morgan. And you have the other bank stocks up with it today, like Goldman Sachs and Citigroup. The other big winner in the Dow today, ExxonMobil. The oil stocks are having another good day. Exxon's up 2.4, Chevron's up 2.2, and then you got Caterpillar up 3.1% today. I'm not sure why. I know that China opening back up is having an impact on iron ore prices, copper prices. I saw all those stocks doing really well late last week, like Freeport-McMoRan and U.S. Steel and Nucor, etc. So China finally starting to let people outside, I guess, reopening. Now, back to this retail mess. There's no question that the earnings estimates. Now, you've seen several big firms take their target prices down on the S&P 500, but the consensus target price is still 5,200. Okay, so that shows you how far behind the curve the consensus estimates are. There's no way the S&P 500 in 12 months is going to be at 5,200. You'd have to have $260 in earnings and a 20 multiple, and that's not going to happen. As it is, the earnings are starting, the estimates are starting to get whittled down. And I saw one of the big firms on Friday take their S&P 500 target price clear down to 4,200, Barry. That's 1,000 points under the consensus. Now, I don't like the direction. That's one of the key indicators that I watch are those S&P 500 estimates, because the stocks and indexes trade on not only on earnings but earnings expectations. And earnings expectations, for the most part, are too high right now, especially in the retail sector, and they've got to come down. Target prices have to come down. But having said that, there's opportunity all over the place in the market right now, both on the short side and on the long side, okay? And when people say, Bill, are we in a bear market? Well, I said this last week. The energy stocks aren't in a bear market. The basic material stocks are not in a bear market. The commodity stocks, of all the asset classes out there, bonds, stocks, cash, digital coins, whatever, all the different asset classes, real estate, the number one asset class continues to be commodities of all shapes and sizes. So they're definitely not in a bear market. So there's opportunity there. And then, as we've been saying for quite some time, there's opportunity on that inverse side. We first started picking on ARK, the long duration high PE stuff. SARK is a huge winner. I got to believe, Barry, that that's a big part of our ranking right now on Seeking Alpha, or on Tip Ranks. You know, we're in the top 2%. And not only have the fertilizer stocks done well, but we wrote up SARK.
And it's been a big move. I mean, a huge move. Obviously, and, against ARK, and really continues to be, that story continues to play out with whatever top stock she holds. I think she doesn't hold Tesla anymore at the moment.
Well, she does.
I think she moved something else up.
Yeah, that's her number two holding now, Tesla, which has been getting whacked. There's a war on Elon Musk. We'll talk about that in a bit. He is not popular, there's an attack. Let's just say this, that there's an attack on Elon right now. And you know, it's coming at him from his personal life. All of a sudden, all these women are coming forward out of nowhere. I mean, everything was fine until he made that bid for Twitter. And his stock is getting hammered, and there's investigations into him from the SEC. So that's her second biggest holding. Her biggest holding is Roku. I could not sleep at night knowing that my biggest holding from my clients was Roku.
No, that's the one. Yeah, I saw.
It's Roku.
I saw that. I think it was on Friday, and I thought about you because that's one we've owned and written up
over
the years, right? But I mean, that's when I saw that was the number one holding.
That's indicative of the type of stocks that she's in. And the streaming sector has just been clobbered. Netflix just got absolutely pummeled. What would make you think that Roku is in any better position than those?
And they don't even have content. I mean, they don't even create content.
No.
They're just essentially a third party, that happens to be between you and the streaming service.
Yeah, they are a dispensary service of streaming services, which are all fighting and amongst each other. So, and there's inverse funds on the retail and the consumer sector. Now, that really has my interest. There's not a lot of them, but we'll be looking at them here this week. We've already got several inverse funds in place to take advantage of a lot of this mess that's being created out there. But the inverse funds in the retail sector. Okay, Deere is bouncing back today. They blame the supply chain. How soon do they think the supply chain will start to improve? They see it persisting through year end. Now, here's another question I have, Barry. At some point, with Amazon losing money, and Target and Walmart barely eking out profits, what choice do they have but to? They got to trim costs, but aren't they going to have to raise prices on the consumer?
Well, I mean, you would think they have to, right? I mean,
yeah.
I don't really see, how you can't, and that's what we've been following so much from all these producers, right? And while we follow the producer price index is, at some point, right, they're going to at least a portion of that increase, right, is going to be passed on to us as consumers, which is why we look at it as kind of a future, say, tailwind for consumer price inflation.
So it's hard to make the argument that inflation is going away anytime soon. I would think that's pretty sticky. That is not going away. Okay, when we come back now, what would happen if another pandemic were to come with the economy in such weak position? We'll talk about the company in the center of that, a little bit on Elon, and the current state of the tech stocks. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Okay, the monkeypox thing, I don't think it's a big deal. There seems to be a low risk of it really growing into something big. But there are a couple of stocks there that are really flying on monkeypox. EBS, Emergent Biosystems. But the big winner there is SIGA, S-I-G-A. So if you think monkeypox is going to be a big deal and sweep the globe, SIGA seems to be the main player there.
I feel like okay. There's a Wizard of Oz flying monkey reference there. Boom.
It doesn't look like a fun thing. You know, I've seen some pictures with all those boils all over your body.
I don't like looking at stuff.
I think I'll stay inside for a while. Anyways, Elon Musk, what's up with him? He's under attack. I mean, out to get Elon Musk. I'm just saying, that's what I see. All of a sudden, you know, he's got all of these problems and all of these issues that he didn't have before he made the bid for Twitter, and he's trying to, you know, kind of back out a little bit out of the Twitter deal. He wants to know about the bots. They haven't given him a good evidence, facts about how many fake accounts, how many robots, how many spam accounts. And he says it just looks very suspicious to him. Now, right now, he's on the line for $54.20, where the market right now on Twitter is $37.60. So he is, what is that, $17 underwater from his offer price.
Yeah, it's big, almost a third.
Ouch, and where the stock is trading at now. And it's affecting his Tesla stock. Tesla is that's really a bad chart. Tesla has broken support levels. Tesla has broken 700. It's now at 668 on Tesla after being at 1243. It hasn't quite been cut in half, but it's down 45% Tesla. From its high last year. Okay, now we look at the tech stocks. Boy, I just don't see any strength there. I would love to tell you that, wow, I think you can back up the truck right now, you know, and buy Micron or buy Microsoft or buy Amazon or Apple. I just continue to see weak charts. NVIDIA shares plunged on Friday. I mean, that's the king there of the semiconductors. That is not a good chart on NVIDIA. Today, we own some Broadcom. Well, Broadcom just announced that they're thinking of buying VMware. That's not the biggest deal, you know. It's down 3.5% just because they mentioned.
Yeah.
And maybe it's going to happen, maybe it's not. The market thinks it's going to happen because VMware is up,
20% when I was looking at it earlier today. And, of course, that's normal, right? The acquirer always, nine times out of ten, the acquirer always is the firm that takes a hit. And then, of course, the one being acquired is the one that always pops. But, yeah, I was looking at saw that this morning.
Yeah,
roughly, I think, about a $40 billion deal, and
yeah,
it kind of matches up with some other deals that they've done. You know, Broadcom's kind of gone, you know, has begun to kind of move a little bit more towards software to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, goes more and more towards that particular route or kind of, you know, sea change that they've been kind of implementing over time. I forget what, they bought another company a while back, and it was, you know, similar transaction.
Yes.
It was a smaller transaction, but I can't remember what the name of the firm was at right at this moment.
Well, tech's not going away. AMD's is probably the best looking tech stock right now from a chart point of view. But overall, we continue to have an inverse position against the tech sector and the NASDAQ, which the NASDAQ cannot find a bottom. I mean, the NASDAQ keeps looking for a bottom, and it's just not there. It just continues. It got hammered again on Friday. It made a late day comeback. It looks to me like it's headed for at least 11,000. It's at 11,350 right now. And below that, I've seen some calls for 10,000 on the NASDAQ. It was 16,212. It's down 500 points. That's almost a 30% hit in the NASDAQ. And if you were listening to this show, Best Stocks Now show, I remember a couple guys here warning starting over a year ago, almost 15, 16 months ago, about tech and about P.E. ratio shrinkage and the highest P.E.s being the most vulnerable because of a rising interest rate environment. Barry, it's uncanny of the relationship. The multiple has now shrunk by about 30%.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, when you do the calculations, it's, you know, almost all of it, right, has been you know, multiple contraction. And
yes,
and you know, we keep looking. It's like, yeah, I send you a text. I'm like, you know, Google looks like a value, or, you know, I mean, when's the last time you've seen it at under 20,
yeah,
you know,
just
forward
keeps going
P
lower.
Ratio? And then, of course, you look at the chart, and you know, it looks more like, almost looks more like a value trap than it is anything.
Yeah, it looks horrible.
And then, of course, you know, they come out with, you know, some news at the end of last week where, you know, essentially they're looking to potentially, you know, force Google and I think Facebook too to break a, you know, kind of break apart their ad business, almost spin
break
it
them
off.
Up.
You know, which is another whole, I mean, that's another, you know, from a regulatory standpoint, that's probably the one biggest thing facing a lot of these big tech names is just, you know, regulatory concerns, right? Whether it's Apple, whether it's been, you know, Amazon in terms of, you know, competition from a price standpoint. You've got, of course, Google in the ad space, all the, you know, all the, of course, our censorship across social media, you know, there's a lot of regulatory risk.
They tend to be an ATM machine too for countries all across Europe that get them on something, and all of a sudden they're paying a $40 million fine here and there and all over the place. But I would say, okay, so on the tech side of things, I haven't seen earnings erosion. I'm not seeing estimates being taken down. I've seen the multiple. There's the big impact on the tech. But now, beginning last week, we're starting to see earnings erosion estimates in the consumer part of the market and multiple contraction. That's a double whammy, and that's why there's no way. The consensus S&P target is 5,200. That's absolutely ridiculous. Who's going to rely on that? And what firms out there have that kind of a target price on the now?
And haven't
that target
them yet, you know, because you know they're one of you know they're thinking that they should be adjusted down too. They just haven't gone out there. And maybe
I guess
they just
don't
maybe don't know how where to put it at, right? And they don't want to change it twice in a short period of time. I don't.
It's really weird. But the big guys, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, and Wells Fargo recently, they've been taking their target prices down to the 4,200 to 4,300 level. That seems to be a little bit more reasonable in that area because the multiple has gone from 23. It went under 17 last week. It was like 16.5 on Friday. Maybe it's overshot. Okay, now, one last thing. Earnings season is now about over. Here were the worst. I'm just going to pick out a few. Netflix was down 35%. It was the worst performer during earnings season after their earnings. Target, 25%. Dish Network, as subscribership, just is tumbling. Etsy, down 17% on weak guidance. Amazon down 14.1%. from the fading pandemic boom that they had. Walmart down 11.4%. Those were some big casualties during this last earnings season, and those are some of the biggest casualties. Usually there's maybe five or six, but they named 20 here that were down 10% or more. And, you know, if it's either supply chain, inflation, not being able to get the help that they need, a variety of issues, but it's all kind of ganging up. And, of course, the COVID, the lift that they got from COVID, that Walmart, at Amazon, and all of these, that is long gone.
Well, I think the wording on Walmart and Target in terms of being, you know, being surprised, like, what are you surprised about?
Yeah, I guess it was the magnitude, mm-hmm. you know, the shock of Target and just how much it was. Okay, when we come back, we'll talk about some of the stocks jumping off the page, and there's a lot of them. The Dow's up 472 right now. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, there's weakness in the market and there's strength in the market. And you can kind of pick on both right now. Energy stocks are having a really good day again. Energy shares rise with oil futures. U.S. reserves sink to 35-year low. Well, you know they emptied out those reserves to try to knock gasoline prices down. How did that work? That didn't work very good. It was a couple weeks worth of oil, and now it's gone. And those reserves sink to a 35-year low. And, of course, Russian oil pretty much getting the thumbs down. There's a lot of countries right now that are moving away. I saw Finland is moving towards a company for their liquid natural gas, EE. That's one to put on your watch list. That's a fairly recent IPO. And Germany is still kind of waffling a little bit there. I know production in Norway was down. The rig count in the U.S. is increasing. U.S. drilling rigs spiked by 14 for the ninth straight weekly gain, but we're still not seeing that supply coming online. And that continues to put upwards pressure, $110 per barrel on oil. And you're not going to find gasoline under $4 anywhere anymore. The national average is more up around $4.60 right now, and some are calling for $6 gasoline. Then get ready for it. So we continue to like the oil patch. I see one that's jumping off the page for me today, Chesapeake. And that's a natural gas play. They've been doing really well, the natural gas stocks. They had the PGA, didn't they have the PGA championships in Oklahoma this?
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
past weekend.
Yeah, we watched a little bit of it. Even the 10-year-old and 7-year-old were interested in it at the end because they went into a playoff.
Yeah, big comeback. Justin Thomas wins in overtime, I guess. Chesapeake's in Oklahoma, Oklahoma City, CHK. It has quite a storied past. You can read the whole story somewhere. But on a split-adjusted basis, this thing was at one time 4,300. Today it's at 94. But it began the year, I mean, down around, let's see, it began the year around 60 or 70, 65. Now it's 94, and here's that combination of a high relative strength, 98 relative strength. You know, I just think you stick with stocks that have a relative strength of 90 or better because that really isolates where the strength in the market is.
And a forward P of less than 7.
Yeah, of less than 7.
Yeah.
So now you're getting into the value. It has a low P.E. ratio. It has a high relative strength ratio. It's an $11 billion market cap. And natural gas is really one of the biggest plays, one of the biggest areas of strength in the market. You're going to find a lot of relative strengths of 90 or better in that area, like Pioneer Natural Resources and Ranger Oil. I mean, I could Devon Energy. There's a lot of them that continue to do well. It's kind of ironic because at the beginning of the year, there was a giant move into the green energy stocks because of this, you know, the pace is quickening to try to get to a green economy. But the biggest winners in the market this year are the fossil fuel stocks.
Well, now it's a bridge, you know. I mean, now I hear it talked about.
A long bridge.
You know, yeah, now I hear about it, you know, of course, natural gas being the bridge, right, from kind of the old fossil fuel-driven, you know, energy plays to green energy. So I'm sure as we get further and further into election season, we'll have more and more folks adopting you know, natural gas, at least for a period of time.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see nuclear coming back, because there was a time when no nukes was the deal. You know, we don't want nukes. The other big winner this year, amazingly, this is like the most surprising one of all, coal. Coal. Look at this AMR again today. Alpha Metallurgical Coal. 99 relative strength. That's the number one sector, subsector of energy in the entire market. The coal stocks, AMR, with a relative strength of 99 and a P.E. ratio of 4, and that's not the only one. There's a whole bunch of winners here in the coal stocks. I'm just going to give you a few others here. Well, one of them is a master limited partnership, that Alliance Resource. That was in my book many years ago, Alliance Resource Partners, ARCH, A-R-C-H, and AMR are probably the two biggest winners in the coal patch. Okay, and then the other area that's looking interesting to me, it's been pretty beat up. I think maybe that the dollar has gone too far. Gold stocks are starting to firm up. And Barrick Gold, G-O-L-D. And some of the other gold stocks, I hung on to them. Yes, I'm down on them, maybe 15%, somewhere in there. But I do believe that they're pretty cheap now. And we'll watch the dollar. The dollar is starting to sell off a little bit. It started about a week ago. And the gold's starting to catch a bid, the gold stocks. So those are the ones we'll feature here today. Boy, if you don't get the newsletter, you can see I made a big update to the target prices and the macro outlook after last week's surprising earnings reports from four different companies. You can get 2 free weeks. That went out to all my clients, all of our clients, and all of our subscribers. You can get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. You can see how our portfolios stack up against the market. This year, 5 months, almost not quite to the halfway point, but 5 months into the year. And you can see what we've been buying lately, and a lot of stocks that we've sold earlier in the year, they just continue to get pounded. And if you'd like to set up an appointment with us, I think our biggest audience right now are people out there that their guy or gal is doing nothing. And just sitting while the whole world is changing before our very eyes. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. We'd be happy to talk to you. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.